Well, good evening, everyone. Good to see you. Quite a number of years ago now, when my family and I started church planting in Canada, we were partnered with an organization many of you are familiar with called Grace Advance. It's connected to Grace Community Church there. It's their church planting arm. And one of the requirements for us planting was to go through their two-week training program in Sun Valley, California. Now, if that sounds glorious, my sons were 1 and 4. So we packed up the bags, and a lot of bags, and went through the airport there. I arrived at LAX, and the whole time I was wondering, is this going to be worth it? Because this is a lot of work just to get here. And it was. It was a tremendous program, the 2 weeks there. But one of the things that stuck out with me, there's a number of things, but one thing was a comment. What they did was they had pastors come in who had church planted in different parts of the U.S. and give their experiences and lessons they learned for us to kind of glean from. And one of them said something that I've never forgotten. He said, a healthy church, needs to feel a sense of momentum. It needs to feel like it's going somewhere. Because, as you know, church life can feel, not necessarily stagnant, but it does feel at times like you can't see the forest through the trees, right? You're so busy doing the work of the ministry, it's hard to see the big picture of what's all been going on in the life of the church. And so I kind of resolved to myself at that moment as a pastor, anytime I get a chance, particularly the new year is a good time to do this, I want to take a church back through what it's done over the last year and where it's going in the new year. Because you need to see the trees above the forest, don't you? Or how's that work? The forest above the trees? Anyway, you need to see up here. Because if not, you'll forget what this is all for. So that's what I want to do with you tonight. This is kind of a pastoral vision for 2026 I want to give to you. But I also want to talk to you about what happened in 2025. Does that sound good? I hope it does, because that's what I'm doing. So, all right. So this is our vision for tonight. First off, let's talk about what we did in 2025. I have a PowerPoint for you. You're going to be spoiled tonight, so this is good stuff here. The elders told me don't start doing PowerPoints. They're going to expect it every sermon. So, I can't find the pictures all the time. It's hard to find the wonderful pictures. So what we did in 2025. Okay, one thing we did pretty much at the end of 2024 and into 2025 is we updated our mission statement as a church. And many of you will remember this, but we have copies of this mission statement available in the office if you want one. They're online as well. But the mission of MFBC originally said that Meridian First Baptist Church exists to glorify God by developing committed disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a wonderful mission statement. We did not want to change that in any way. But what we did do as an elder board is we just added to it. We kind of took that statement and expounded upon it. And so we did it this way. We develop committed disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ through preaching and teaching. And we develop committed disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ through worship. We develop committed disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ through outreach. And we develop disciples through fellowship and also through service. And those are 5 points that we began to structure kind of the ministry of the church under. Let me give you the paragraphs here that we wrote on each of these so you can see what we're talking about when we mention these points. But the first one in regards to preaching and teaching. We preach and teach the Word of God, always being prepared to correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. Because the Bible is the revelation of God's grace, we at Meridian First Baptist Church are committed to preaching it in our pulpit and to teaching it in every aspect of our ministry. The Bible has been called the teacher's map, the pilgrim's staff, the pilot's compass, and the Christian's charter. It is the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, a lamp for our feet and a light for our path, because it proclaims grace. It loves to talk about the unmerited favor of God and to tell people how to find it through Christ. Therefore, we love to teach the Bible as a church, don't we? And you even have that on your pulpit up here. It says, sola scriptura, scripture only, to remind the preacher what he's supposed to be doing. I remember when this was knocked off at one point, and I thought you guys were going to come after me because you got to, we put it back up here. I blame the youth group for that. That was not the youth's fault. Mike told me that. I don't know whose fault it was, but anyway. All right. I just want to put that. You guys are naming names right now, aren't you? Okay. All right. It wasn't me. The next point, we develop committed disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ through worship. We strive to be true worshipers of God who worship Him in spirit and truth by presenting ourselves as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to Him. Because God's glory is so prevalent in the Bible, we are also committed to emphasizing it in our worship. Colossians 3, verse 16 says, "Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God." We take that admonition seriously, as we've heard tonight. As we hear the word of God preached and taught, we respond to it in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. We are so thankful for all God has done for us that we cannot but help but proclaim it through music and through the ordinances of baptism and the Lord's Supper. The next point regarding outreach, we seek to share the gospel of Jesus Christ through training, supporting, and becoming missionaries both at home and abroad. Because Jesus Christ has commissioned us to proclaim His word, it is our vision to evangelize the lost. Grace is best seen in evangelism. When you have experienced the unmerited favor of God, you cannot help but tell others about it. When you have had your sins forgiven and iniquities pardoned, you cannot wait to tell others how to do the same. Evangelism has been described as one beggar telling another beggar how to find bread, and that is the passion of our church. We love to tell sinners about the bread of life, our Savior Jesus Christ. John 6, verse 35 says, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will not thirst." Got two more for you here. Fellowship. We faithfully gather to encourage and build up one another in love. Because Jesus redeemed us to be part of a community of believers, it is our vision to see each member of the church connected to one another. In fact, the Bible calls the church a family, a flock of sheep, and a vine. It says it is a building, a body, and a lamp with many lampstands. It is a household with many members, and all of these images remind us that our lives need to be lived together with the saints instead of independently on our own. As Hebrews 10, verses 23 through 25 says, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, not forsaking our own assembling together." And then the final point. Thanks for bearing with me while I read this to you. We serve by helping show hospitality and generously caring for all people, especially those who are of the household of the faith, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Because we have received His word, it is our vision to see every member of our church serve one another in love. 1 Peter 4, verse 10 says, "As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." God loves it when His people show their love in good works. He loves it when we help, bless, and minister to each other selflessly and sacrificially. God gave everything He had for us on the cross, and we want to do the same thing for others in the church. He held nothing back when He saved us, and we want to hold nothing back when we give to the family of God. And then the conclusion of the mission statement, you can read this on the pamphlets, but it's to pray for us. Please pray as we put this into practice. Now, as you hear all those points, and you remember we actually did a series on Sunday nights back in 2024, I think, where we walked through each of those and I did a message on them. But you might be saying, well, all that sounds nice, Pastor Jeremy, but how does that sort of flesh itself out in the life of the church day by day? Well, I'm glad you asked. That's what we're talking about tonight, because what I wanted to do is go back through the last year and show you how each of those headings, those points, how you did each of them, how you lived them out in the life of our church. And for instance, what we did in 2025 is we applied this mission statement in various areas. So let me walk you through them. Preaching and teaching. So with regards to preaching on Sunday mornings and Sunday nights, we did a couple of series. One was on the Gospel of John. As you know, we just finished that up this morning. So we went through the Gospel of John in 1 year. You did not think it could be done. It was done, 1 year. And we also did some messages, or I did some messages on the life of Christ and his ministry in the Gospels and different stories that John did not cover. We covered that in the evenings. We talked about doctrines in the life of Christ, and we looked at some theological points that we could not cover in the mornings. We covered those at night. You can go see those online. Our elders did a series on the Psalms. They talked about those in the summertime. Pastor Diego has been preaching through Colossians, and then also, that was the mission statement sermons that I did, so I was hoping I would remember what that image related to. I did. That's the tricky thing with pictures. You got to remember what the pictures are for. Also, with preaching and teaching ministry of our church, we have our Sunday school classes, and I got to say, as a pastor, I am very blessed at all the work the men put into these various classes. For instance, Dennis Hutchinson did a class on Revelation, and I have selfishly stolen his notes to use, and I would encourage you guys to get a copy of those if you haven't. It was a great class. Pastor Diego is going through Genesis, so we're covering the last book of the Bible and the first. And he's going through that with some young adults. We've gone through Job as well, a book on suffering there. 1 Corinthians, dispensationalism with Virgil and Jim. They're working through that important topic. And then also 1 Thessalonians, just to name a few. There's some other classes as well, but I couldn't find pictures on all of them, so. Very, very good year in Sunday school. With regards to conferences, we had Dr. Peter Gaiman come March 21st through the 23rd talking about end times prophecy. I won't ask you to raise your hand, but that was a great conference that he did. He explained premillennialism very clearly for us. If you didn't get a chance to catch that, please do so. It was a blessing to hear him. I got to see him at Kyle Bill's graduation. He was he's one of the professors there at Shepherd Seminary in North Carolina. We've also had Shepherd's Theological Seminary classes on Tuesdays and Thursday afternoons. How many people have taken classes through Shepherd's? Yeah, quite a number of them. Okay, all right. Very good. What were the classes this year? It was hermeneutics was one. What were some of the other classes that Shepherd's offered? You guys can shout them out. I don't remember. Theology, okay. New Testament one, okay. Good, good. Men's Bible study is another teaching time. Our men work very hard to do the Bible studies together, Mondays, Wednesday mornings, and Saturday mornings as well. Our ladies' Bible study also, they meet Thursday mornings, Thursday nights. They're about to start up here next in a couple weeks. Youth group on Wednesday nights. Kelly Munger asked me why these chairs are all empty. That's just a picture that I had. But the youth do a wonderful job, our leaders, of instructing our young people. We have children's church on Sunday morning. Some of you have noticed this, but on Sundays, if you don't have little kids, when they go to the back, they're going to learn. And we have people that teach them there. We have Awana on Wednesday nights. Our kids enjoy that program very much. And so when it comes to preaching and teaching, we're preaching and teaching all the time here, aren't we? I don't think there's a day goes by with this building's not being used for some type of discipleship or instruction. So that is that one category, preaching and teaching. And like I said, what I want to do is walk you through the other categories as well. So with regard to worship, I mean, one obvious way that we've worshiped this last year is through music. And we have a tremendous music team here as a church, don't we? Every week, it's a blessing to see. And I've told you this before, but I do want to say it again. Our worship leaders make it a point to try to match the music with the sermons. And that always blesses my heart because I know how much work it takes to do that. That's not easy to do. But we actually have some technologies here at the church where I can go in and I'll put a sermon schedule together for the year. And the worship leaders will go and look on the dates and they'll find music to match the sermon messages. So that's not random. When you hear on Sunday morning that a song matches the theme of what we're studying, somebody put work into that. That didn't magically happen. And so it's such a blessing to see that. You want the Word of God to go in you from the preaching and teaching, and then to go out of you in music, right? That's the idea. In, out, in, out. Ordinances with the Lord's Supper and baptism is another way that we've worshiped this past year. I think we baptized 6 people in the last year. It's a blessing to see that. Giving is another way that we worship. Every time you present tithes and offerings, that is a way of honoring the Lord. Prayer. On Sunday mornings, if you're ever here early before the actual worship service starts, one thing you'll notice is that there's a lot of rooms full of people praying. And that's always an encouraging thing to see. Scripture reading is a way to worship. Some of you have started your Bible reading calendars. Someone sent me a funny picture this week of it said Bible reading calendar, and it had a train on the top, and in the bottom it had the train off the tracks, and it said, "Once you reach Leviticus." I'm not going to ask if you've done that, but if you have, you're not alone. They're making memes about that now, so okay. Special services is another way that we worship the Lord this past year. Christmas, Easter, things like this. So that's another category, was worship. Let's talk about outreach this past year. Our church does a lot of work with evangelism that you may or may not be aware of. I'm not sure. One is walk-up evangelism. We do have people in our church that go up to strangers, can you believe this, and share the gospel with them. It's amazing. What's that? Yeah, let's go. You can follow Kyle. He'll drag you with him. Also, we go to the Boise Rescue Mission every month. We've been doing this for the past year to go minister to those who go through the shelter there. Care facility ministry. This is a new one that we started this past year. We've been doing it for, has it been almost a year now? Okay. Every Monday we go to some care facilities in Eagle and do a Bible study there. That one really touches my heart. I started preaching in a nursing home when I was 19 years old. And my tennis coach told me that there was a nursing home around the corner. They did not have any way to go out and go to church. They need someone to go in and do a service for them. And that's how I started preaching week to week. And we have people that go and minister to those in those homes. And it means the world to them, doesn't it? It really does. So that's great. Fathers in the Field is another one. This is a ministry. If you're interested, you can see Byron Hendrickson for it, or Brian Rahm. But for young men who do not have a fatherly influence in their home, this is a ministry that helps plug them in with men who can disciple them and spend time with them and love on them. Another big part of our outreach, so those are all local outreach, but is our international outreach with our missionaries. I put them all up here on the screen. You can see them in the hallway as you're going to the Family Ministry Center, but let me just show you who they are so you're familiar with them if you don't know. We heard from Francis Acapo this morning. He's one of our MFBC missionaries to Togo, Africa. We have Jerry and Angie Burheim, missionaries to Idaho and Oregon with Awana. We have Kyle and Brandy Bills, future MFBC missionaries to Chile. They're sitting right there, so you can see the back of their heads. This is the front of their heads up here on the screen. James and Melissa Fife, MFBC missionaries also to Togo, Africa. Peter and Jamie Hudson, missionaries to Colombia. Ryan and Kirsten Kurvitz, missionaries to Mexico. Ethan and Melissa Molsey are missionaries to Togo, Africa also. Mark and Serena Mauser, missionaries to Togo. Faith Schaefer, a missionary to Togo. Bill and Lori Smith, missionaries to Papua New Guinea. That's a new missionary couple that we brought on this past year. And Gerald and Katie Touchstone, also missionaries to Togo, Africa. And as you're looking at those pictures, the Touchstones, Fifes, some of these people are going to be familiar, whether you're old or new to our church, because they spoke at the missions conference. So some of these people you saw recently, just a couple months ago, but we had a missions conference October 26th through November 9th, and the speakers included some of these folks. So Touchstones, the Bills, Parkinson's, Fifes, Glessner's, and the Hudson family as well. So it was a blessing to have all those at our missions conference. We were at a pastor's meeting this past week for pastors in the area, and one of the pastors, one of the elders at the church in Notice there, was sharing with us that he took his wife on their first date to the missions conference. I took my wife on a first date to a chicken farm, so I can't judge. I cannot judge on that. That missions conference was a step up from what I did. They were lovely chickens, though, and it worked, so anyway. All right. Well, you guys have judgmental glances right now. Look. It was a big chicken farm, and we rode a four. Anyway, okay, I'll stop. So I saw that chicken farmer a couple weeks ago. Anyway. Smelly place. It didn't smell very good. All right, so let's talk about fellowship. We had a lot of fellowship this last year as well. You know, it was interesting. Someone mentioned to me some time ago, I don't remember, but they said, you know, I wonder, do we do a lot of fellowship as a church? A lot of things where we get together. Well, actually, we do. If you put it right all down on paper and look at the past year, we had the first fruits in April 6th. It was one fellowship thing that we did. The men's retreat, April 11th through 12th. We did junior camp June 23rd through 27th. Middle school camp, July 7th through 12th, there in Camp Pinewood. Family camp, July 14th through the 19th. The river floating trip at Horseshoe Bend, July 19th. The high school camp, July 21st through 26th. Summers in July. I put the ice cream up here because that was my favorite part of the summers in July, but I think everybody loves that ice cream. I had Huckleberry ice cream for the first time there. It was great stuff. We had a lot of baby showers this past year, so we went back as an office to get the dates on that, but March 8th, September 20th, October 4th were all days where we did different baby showers. Weddings. We had the Munger and Knapstead wedding August 2nd and the Knutson and Schultz wedding on August 8th. That was kind of special. We had the sanctuary all done up for that. Coffee with the Kegels. So my family has gone through the alphabet of the church. We have gone A through Z to invite everyone to our home. We'll do it again in the new year, but that's all for fellowship. And we really enjoy that time having you come into our house. I couldn't find a thing that said coffee with the Kegels, but that says coffee with the preachers, so that's close enough. A joy camp, September 7th through 11th. The women's retreat, September 25th through 27th. Thanksgiving service on November 26th. We just, our youth leaders just did the TLC Youth Conference, December 29th through January 1st. That was a very recent thing. We did the New Year's Eve service, and also Winter Blast is coming up. They're making some repairs to Camp Pinewood due to the damage from the windstorm, and so as soon as that's done, they're heading up to McCall for that. So we've had a lot of fellowship this past year. You guys should know a lot about each other by now. So potlucks every Sunday as well. Let me talk about service as another point here. So different ministries we've done to serve one another in different ways. Grief Share. We've done our quilting ministry. Our ushers. Our greeters. Our church security. Maintenance. This building does not fix itself. Coffee bar, sound team, finance team, set up and tear down, elderly care and visitation. You guys should be tired because you've done a lot. this past year. I want to commend you for that. Some pastors I've talked to have to try to get their church to do more. Sometimes I feel like I got to get you guys to slow down a little bit. And that's a good problem to have. And so I guess the question is, where do we go from here in the new year? What's the next step in the life of the church? I think one passage that comes to mind for me is 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 1, where it says to excel still more. Keep applying the mission statement to the life of the church. So for instance, in 2026, let me talk to you about a few new things we're going to do. I can't cover all of these. I had about 160-something slides, but I won't be able to get through all of it. But a couple high points. Let me hit some highlights for you in the new year. One is we are going to start some new preaching series. We're going to start Matthew next week. I wanted to do a summary of John this morning because I wanted you to have that in your minds to see how different it is from Matthew. It's fascinating when you compare the books. One was written to a son of, was written by a son of thunder. The other one's written by a former tax collector. You want to talk about someone who was not well liked in his culture. And so it'll be neat to see what Matthew says about the Lord. We'll start that next week. We'll also do the book of Revelation on Sunday evenings. I've wanted to study that with you. We have talked about that recently as a church in Sunday school. I wanted to do it for all those who might have missed it and be blessed by that in the evenings. Sunday school classes, some of these are going to be continuations of ones that we're already doing. But one thing we are doing new in our Sunday school class that I've mentioned to you is as elders, we sat down and said, if we had someone for 5 years and we could teach them anything, what would we want to teach them? We actually sat down and wrote it all out, all the different topics where we would like you to learn in 5 years in the life of our church. And we constructed one particular Sunday school class, Dennis Hutchinson's beginning it, to address these different things. And so all the other Sunday school classes you saw are going to continue, but there is going to be one class that's going to start going on a monthly rotation of some of these topics. And so Dennis is teaching right now on hermeneutics. We will start some classes this year with that class on a survey of the Bible, something like Genesis through 2 Kings. Other topics will be practical Christian living in that class. We'll talk about discernment issues. That picture is counseling issues and some theology ones too. So that particular class is going to be designed in that way. For the spring conference, just FYI, you want to mark your calendars for April 17th through the 19th. Stuart Scott will be with us. He is he's taught several places. He's a biblical counseling professor at Bob Jones right now. He's been at Masters in Southern Seminary. But he's going to be teaching on the one another's in Scripture. And he and I were talking about a week ago about, he was asking about our church and what kind of topics might be helpful for the body of Christ here at Meridian First Baptist. And I mentioned that we have young families in our church, we have old families. One thing I've seen that some folks are kind of dealing with is how to care for loved ones and family members that are not doing well physically. And he said, you know, that kind of touches my heart, he said, because we're caring for my aged mother. And he said, so I've done conferences on the one another's. How about I come do a conference on that and apply it to issues like that? I said, absolutely. So that's what he'll be doing April 17th through 19th. We're also talking with Gary Gilley. If you remember, Gary came and spoke at my installation service, but about doing one in April 2027. But that seems like so far away, so I'm going to keep going here. But he said he is willing to come in April of 2027, so we're thinking that far in advance as well. Let me talk to you about a few other new things. Again, I've got a lot of slides here, so I'm going to skip over some of this for the sake of time. Music spots are available in the orchestra and worship team, by the way. How many of you are doing the Bible reading calendars? I'm kind of curious. Hey, very good. All right. How many of you are still doing the Bible reading? Okay, good. All right. That's good. That's good. I'm glad to hear that. I just wanted to ask that question when I saw that slide. Some of these events, Good Friday on April 2nd, Easter on April 4th, we're going to do the similar things that we've done this past year. But one item I wanted to point out to you, our missions conference, by the way, October 25th through November 8th, but one item I wanted to point out to you that's kind of new, we've been working on as an office on this project for a while. Taylor Ramsey's helped us out quite a bit with this. is a new visitor packet for new visitors that come through our church. You've probably picked up on this, but we do have a number of guests every week. I didn't track the number, but it seems like every week there's new faces for me, probably are for you. And so you're always trying to think of how do we best shepherd them. And we've created a new packet for them to give them information about our church. And so let me show it to you. This is the cover page of it. When you open it up on the inside, it says, "Welcome," as it should. And the writing is so small, I got to bend over to see it. It says, "Hello and welcome to Meridian First Baptist Church. We're so glad that you're visiting us and have taken the time to join us today for the morning service. We are a Bible-teaching congregation that's located in Meridian, Idaho, who make it our passion to proclaim Christ, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom so that we may present everyone complete in him." And these are the first two pages. But as you walk through the packet, I want to show you some of the different items that it discusses. It talks about our vision, like we're doing tonight. So it mentions in there that our mission is to glorify God by developing committed disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's in there for any guest to see. But it starts telling you about our ministries. This is where the packet, I think, is helpful for a new person. If you're new to a church, you want to know what the church is about, but you also want to know what kind of ministries are available for you and your family. So right off the bat, it shows you these. If you see your picture in here, that's because Taylor was taking pictures of folks in the church for this. But we have our children's ministry. It tells the different divisions of the Sunday morning. If you have a child from birth to 2 years old, 3 years old to fifth grade, and Sunday school of all ages, that's all available for you. Awana, children's events, things like this. Our student ministries is listed in here. Talks about the different small groups for that and programs. Adult ministries is listed in the new visitors packet, along with senior adults and our music ministry as well. Our missions is mentioned in there and the different places where our missionaries are. I just showed them to you, but Africa, Latin America, Asia, Oceania, and Europe. And then the different care ministries of our church. So if you're a new person coming into the church and you're hurting, well, we have ministries in the areas of biblical counseling, marriage mentoring, financial counseling, funeral and memorial services, homebound visitation, community resources, grief share, and benevolence. And so I just wanted to show that to you because you guys are not new to the church. Maybe someone is, but most of you guys are familiar faces. But we want to make you aware of ways that we're trying to serve those new people that are coming. But the point I'm bringing up with all this is that all this goes back to the issue of helping people grow in the Lord. Like I said at the beginning, this is the mission of our church. We exist to make committed disciples of the Lord Jesus. And we just have a few minutes left for tonight. I want to say a few words about that. So take your Bibles and open them to the Gospel of Matthew, where Jesus gives us this command. So he mentions it in Matthew chapter 28. So if you want to take your Bibles and turn to the last few pages of the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew 28, if you've studied it before, you know it is referred to as the what? Great Commission. It's the last thing Jesus said before he left the earth. And it tells you, interestingly enough, what was on his mind as he left the earth. And if you're wondering what that was, Matthew 28, verse 19 says, "To go, therefore, and make disciples of how many nations?" All of them, right? "How far were the 12 to go in carrying out this task?" Well, everywhere. The four corners of the globe, north, south, east, and west. This doesn't imply that they had to leave Israel right away. Some did, some didn't. And it doesn't tell us that every brand new Christian was expected to change their job to carry out this command. Some would do that, some would not. But the idea is wherever they were, they needed to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. If you live in Meridian, Idaho, you be a witness for Jesus Christ in Meridian, Idaho. If you live in Africa, you do it in Africa. It really doesn't matter. The command is the same, irregardless of location. And obviously, I can't get into a full sermon on this, but I do want to point out to you, this phrase in Greek is matheteo, and it means to help someone be a learner. That's what the church is commanded to do. We are to show people what it means to learn about Jesus. Because he has, if you're looking in your Bibles here, he has all authority. In other words, he doesn't have some authority over your life, while Muhammad or Buddha have the rest. He has every last bit, like I said this morning, in heaven and on earth. And can you think of anything that doesn't fit between heaven and earth? It indicates there is nothing that's not under his control. You name it, it's his. He is the king of the universe. And with his kingship, he orders us to tell people to bow the knee to him, because they're not doing that, are they? I mean, most people, even in a place like the Treasure Valley, where there's a lot of churches, most people have no idea Jesus is king. That's why they live the lives they do. It's your job to fill them in on that. The reason I mention this is because I'm afraid some Christians, sometimes we can lose sight of this. There are some believers, maybe for good intentions, but they seem to be doing a lot of things other than that. And what I mean is, if you take a survey of the churches in the Treasure Valley, I bet you would find some of them are feeding the homeless, helping the poor, serving in a soup kitchen, giving out free meals, free health care, helping people stay warm and well-fed, all of which are good things. That is all very commendable. Nothing wrong with that. The problem is, sometimes there can be very little talk of the king in it. It's almost as if the mentality is, if we make people look like they're Christians, they'll be Christians. They will not. You heard me say today, you can put lipstick on a pig, it does not make it pretty. You can put good works on a person, they will not become Christian. They need more. They have to be told about Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who has come to die in their place, and that's what we're here to do. Because listen, friends, if you don't tell them that, who will? I mean, the government? No. The president? No. Culture? No. Movies? No. Hollywood? The actors you see on TV? The athletes nowadays that want to talk about everything? The responsibility is on our shoulders. And we have to bear that. I mean, listen, friends, at the end of the day, we're not trying to make people warm and well-fed on their way to hell. We're trying to get them saved from it by the grace of God, so they can go to heaven instead. And the only way for that to happen is for us to keep our eyes fixed on this priority. We can't ever get distracted by that. Because if you forget to make disciples here, let me tell you what will happen. Our teaching will become worthless. So will our worship. Our outreach will lose its power. So will our fellowship. Our service, grief share, quilting ministry, ushering ministry, greeting will come to naught. Because you'll forget what you're doing it for. It'll be like a hollow noise. You can't see that happen here. You have to keep the main thing, like you've done this past year. You know, I've talked to a couple of people about your ministry, some of you guys about your ministry, and I've told you, thank you for your hard work. And the reply is always interesting, because you say, well, you're welcome, Pastor Jeremy, but we're not doing it for you. I mean, you don't have to be that blunt, you know. You could be a little nicer about it. We don't come in early on Tuesday mornings to make quilts on your behalf, or stay up late on Tuesday evenings to counsel people through grief so you will be exalted. We do it for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And I would say, may your tribe increase. It's my prayer that would be our perspective in the upcoming year, even more than in the recent ones. Because here's the thing. You can never say enough about Jesus, can you? I mean, you can talk about him from now until eternity, and you'll never be proclaiming all that he's worth, as the disciples will go on to demonstrate in Matthew 28. I mean, once Jesus gave them this command, you go into the book of Acts, and they would not stop talking about him. Every other word out of their mouth was Jesus this and Jesus that. The Lord did this for me. The Lord did that. They did miracles. They healed people. They tried to keep the hurting people warm and well-fed any way they could, but they never lost sight of that as well. I mean, a healthy church has one objective, and that is to put him on display. You know, someone sent me an interesting note on this recently that I think sums this up well. It says this. it says that this is the church. It is the beautiful and broken body of Christ. It is stumbling, faltering, and flawed. It is vibrant, triumphant, and redeemed. It is sacred and marred, righteous and erring. The blood of the Lamb covers it. Redemption soaks the ground beneath its feet. It is filled with sinners, hypocrites, saved and transformed by the grace of God and lover of all good things. Coarse and ugly, it is a priceless treasure. Loud and inconstant, it is the joy of God's heart. Timid and afraid, it is the army of the Lord of all creation. It is God's reflected light to the world. The hands and feet of the great I am. The voice crying out in the wilderness, calling all creation to renewal. It is the bearer of the greatest mandate ever given because it proclaims truth in a world full of lies, light in a world full of darkness. It brings grace to a world that is broken. It is the missionaries, gospel bringers, and martyrs humbling, offering the bread of life to the starving. Christ is its cornerstone. Reject it at your peril. Mock it at your risk. No weapon formed against it will conquer, because it is God's holy and established institution on earth, his ambassador to the nations. I think that was well said, wasn't it? Isn't it a blessing to be part of a church? Do you know there are people in the world that are not part of it? Some of them don't have churches anywhere around them. We do. And by God's grace, he's brought you here to this church. And it is broken. And it is flawed. It can be messy at times. But it's also upheld by the Lord himself beyond all human understanding because he loves it. We should love it too. I know you do. But my encouragement to you is to keep loving it in the new year. And may God bless us and the work that we do. Let me close us in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning, Lord, thanking you for all the good things that we've seen happen this past year. We couldn't even get into all the things that are that we've done or that we're planning. There's just so much there. And it's by your mercy that all this has happened. We don't ever want to take that for granted, Lord. When we look at all the many things that have been done and all the lives that have been touched and the baptisms and babies that were born and marriages and all one thing to the other, we acknowledge, Father, that if it were not for your hand building all this, it could not be done. We can't make anybody walk through the doors of this place. And we can't make anyone believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't make disciples in our own strength. You do it through us. And we thank you for it, Lord. I thank you for the work at Meridian First Baptist all the way back to the beginning of its time. You have kept this church firmly fixed on your foundation. And Father, we pray for your grace that it would continue to do so in the new year. Thank you that you've allowed us to see a new year. It is your mercy and kindness that gives us a breath in our lungs and the blood in our body. May we use it for your glory to make disciples in this upcoming time. To Christ's glory, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.